Oh, a jingle hop. 720 WGN. I'm John Landecker. That's Bobby Helms doing Jingle Bell Rock. And if you're saying to yourself, oh, I think I've heard that a few times. Yeah, you have. The headline reads, analyze 168 hours, 1,554 tracks, 74 artists, and 61 unique songs. We're talking about the songs that are played by radio at this time of year. And with this is Corey Rumor from the Chicago Tribune, a data reporter. Good evening. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, John? I got to admit, though, I've heard Jingle Bell Rock so many times.
I know.
I don't know if I can hear it again, but it's this time of year, so sure, no, why not?
No, you're going to hear it again. I can guarantee you you're going to hear it again. In fact, I can guarantee you you're going to hear all these songs in your article again, over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. Did I say
that? You're exactly right.
In fact,
you are exactly
right. I was just noticing here. Let me read off. These are some of the top Christmas tunes of all time. Jingle Bell Rock, It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year, All I Want for Christmas, Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, Jolly Holly Jolly Christmas, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, Holly Jolly Christmas Again, Jingle Bell Rock, and Feliz Navidad. They're all very familiar titles who have been, and all of those titles have been re-recorded about a million times by different people ever since they came out, which strikes me as being the it's unique, I guess. I mean, there's no other example that I can think of at the top of my head that equates that. I mean, the Jingle Bell Rock by Bobby Helms came out in 1957, right?
And we still want to hear it over and over and over again. It's that comfort and joy, you know, that we're all searching for this year during the pandemic. We all want to hear something that's familiar to us, I guess.
Well, of course, but this is, you know, can you explain your article to people who are listening now as to, instead of me trying to work my way around all this data, charts, analytics, conclusions, etc.?
Absolutely. So I deal with a lot of data as part of my reporting at the Chicago Tribune. And usually, you know, it's for things like elections or coronavirus or trying to go through our archives. And every year I have this idea, I would love to do this. And I usually don't have the time to do it. And somehow I was able to convince my editor, Jonathan Berlin, that this was totally worth my time to sit and listen to as many hours of our local all Christmas format radio station, which is WLIT-FM.
Right.
And so I thought it would be interesting. And I was kind of like you, like, wait a minute, I'm listening to this station and I'm hearing the same songs over and over again. So how often am I hearing these songs? So we came up with the idea of trying to listen to as much of the first week of programming for that station as we possibly could. And then for the hours where, you know, we were trying to get some sleep, we decided to go with the station. On their website, they have a recently played list of songs.
Right.
So that's what we used and tried to boil it down to here were the songs that were most popular during that time. And kind of we reached out to some experts, too, to see how those aligned with what people around the country want to listen to. And it was actually kind of fun. One of the experts I spoke to, he referred to Frank Sinatra and Perry Como and Bobby Helms and some of these traditional favorites as, quote, sweater artists.
Sweater artists.
That was kind of great.
I like that. They're sweater artists. What is the, I'm not quite sure what the connection is, but I mean, obviously everybody wears sweaters at this time of year, but what specifically about those individuals were, well, they could be, you know, Bing Crosby, you could have a cardigan and maybe a pipe in the corner of your mouth for all I know. I mean, that's the image that it brings to mind, you know, White Christmas and all those songs that were from that era, which still are played by the original artists and also cover versions by every format on earth. Now, you know, I don't know how many different country artists have recorded these songs that we're talking about, but I can guarantee you it's a whole bunch.
So many. And it's apparently very competitive for newer artists who come up with newer versions of these songs. It's apparently very competitive for them to try to get their version amongst the rankings to even get played on the radio stations. But so we took Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree as an example, which is, you know, Brenda Lee, but there's also a Leanne Rimes version that was played on the station so much, and Amy Grant. And I'm trying to remember I can't remember the year the Leanne Rimes version, which would be the latest released. I'm not even sure, maybe in the 90s or the early 2000s. So we're still talking about a song that's at least a decade old. We just want to hear the originals or something close to the original, I think.
Well, I think what people are, what artists are trying to do, I'm going to save it. We're going to take a break. Corey Moore from the Chicago Tribune, data reporter and deep analytics on Christmas time playlists. We'll continue at 720 WGN.
Of a white Christmas.
Oh, aren't we all? I don't know. Maybe not. 720 WGN. John Landecker at 746. We're talking with Corey Roomer from the Chicago Tribune, a data reporter who has dug deep into what Christmas songs are played every year on stations that go all Christmas and why. Now, before we took the break, I said, I think I have a theory why everyone tries to cover successful holiday songs. It's like a annuity. Every year, you'll sell some more. No, seriously.
Yeah.
Every year, you're going to sell how many singles or whatever of Brenda Lee's Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree have been sold since its release date. I mean, it's got to be astounding because it happens every single year. And also Bing Crosby. And I mean, the list goes on and on and on. So whoever owns the publishing rights to those songs knows that they're in for a payday every single year. In fact, I can't guarantee this, but I would say that if you had, let's say, a million-selling Christmas song hit, you would not have to work another day in your life, because every year it would sell again and again and again and again. But that's sort of on a different tangent than what we're talking about. You listened really to 168 hours?
Not, I didn't get to listen to that many hours.
Oh, that's okay.
I was able to sleep and get away from it every so often. Yeah.
So what did you find? What can we deduce? What conclusions can we make from all of your data and your tests, and also using the quote unquote professional radio testing companies with focus groups and all of those fun things? What have you arrived at? What have you?
We want to listen to the oldies. We want to listen to the crooners. We want to listen to lighthearted songs. Although it seems that this year, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, it gives new meaning. It's a song that I looked into it a little bit. It was created for the 1944 movie Meet Me in St. Louis.
Right.
Judy Garland sings it kind of as a lament. In the movie, her family is supposed to be leaving St. Louis, and she loves St. Louis, and she's heartbroken about it. And so apparently the original version of the song was very grim, so grim that Judy Garland refused to sing it. In fact, my colleague, Tribune columnist Mary Schmeek, actually wrote about this for her column this week. So some of the early lyrics, the lyrics that she ends up singing in the movie, someday soon we all will be together if the fates allow. Until then, we'll have to muddle through somehow. And it just seems so appropriate for this year. But along came Frank Sinatra in 1957, who wanted to have the song on his album, A Jolly Christmas from Frank Sinatra, but he wanted something more upbeat. So instead of the muddling through lyrics, he changed it to, through the years, we all will be together if the fates allow. Hang a shining star upon the highest bough. And it's interesting because what we found that first week of WLIT's Christmas programming, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, was played 46 times by 12 different artists. So that was the song with the most different artists that we saw played.
Now, wait a minute. In the 168 mm-hmm. hours, that mm-hmm. song was played 46 times by different artists?
46 times by 12 different artists. Now, I have to put a little asterisk on it because for the hours I wasn't able to listen to in person.
Don't worry, they're repeating the same songs. Trust me.
I sure hope so, Dad.
Oh, no, they did. They did.
One of the things we noticed is, hey, wait a minute. Once we took the number of songs and how many times they were played, I realized one of my personal favorites, which is Last Christmas by Wham, wasn't showing up on those listings. And I thought, what is going on? And I went through the recent playlist on WLIT station, and we contacted the radio station, and a representative told us, well, there must be a glitch because software does not recognize when that song is played.
Well, right away you're in trouble because they're going to their quote-unquote software. Let's just blame it on the software. Got to be the software that we're not getting Wham on the air enough.
Exactly. So my data is flawed. So
no, it's not.
All I know.
No, it's not. No, it's not flawed.
For all I know, they played Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas way more than 46 times. But I can't count for 46 times. Yeah.
Okay, so there is a figure here that their entire library is 250 songs.
Yes. Now
that's where you got to start. That is the key right there.
Yes.
Of all the thousands and thousands of Christmas songs there are and various versions, commercial radio stations around the country, when they go to this format, literally bring along only 250 songs because they've tested them, right?
Yes.
Now, can you explain what a test is?
So this is something I think used to be done more widely, but our local All Christmas Format radio station is part of iHeartMedia.
Oh, yes. And since
neither iHeartMedia nor the local Christmas radio station would speak to me.
Of course not.
Of course not.
Do you know how hard it is to have software talk to you? It's difficult.
Right.
Because there's nobody there anyway, so
that's right.
Don't get me started.
It plays itself. I completely understand.
I completely understand. So they
do
the testing,
right?
We don't
know this catalog. Yes, they do the testing, and we don't know with these 250 Christmas songs whether those are all unique Christmas songs or if it's all the different versions of "Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas." All we know is the number is 250. So I would love to sit in on some of those planning sessions when they figure out what that list of 250 is.
Well, I can give you my opinion, my guess as to how that's done, based on my own personal experience. I can't guarantee that what I'm about to say is actually the way they do it. But as long as I have been, except with the fine exception of WGN, thank goodness. But for as long as I've been in radio, and when I first came to Chicago and was on that big AM rock station playing music, the one complaint that came from everybody is, why do you repeat the same songs over and over again? They were saying trust me, my hand to God, they were saying that in 1975. And it was true. Listen, it was true. Listen to her. Oh, my God, no. Yes. And they did testing. And as far as I understand it, the way they did it was, and I could be wrong, I'm not saying this is absolutely the way it was, that they would somehow come up with a focus group, some people. I don't know how they gathered them, but they did. And they would put them in a room, and they'd start playing the beginnings of different, and this wasn't Christmas. This was like every month or every week. This was like the top 10, the top 20, the whatever. And the song, the songs that, it didn't have anything to do with sales. I mean, if you had to sell some to get on the list, but the test score was did not have to match the sales score and vice versa. So some songs that sold a lot but didn't test well weren't played as much as some songs that tested well but didn't sell a lot. And you talk to anybody, you talk to anybody around Chicago from that time, they'll tell you it's the same thing. Then I worked for a quote-unquote oldie station for 10 years. Same thing. Mm-hmm. I could almost guarantee you when we were going to play Doo-Wah-Diddy-Diddy-Dum-Diddy-Doo by Manfred Mann every Thursday morning at 10 minutes after 7 o'clock because it came up every friggin' time. I mean, they've been doing this forever. They've been doing this forever.
I need to ask you, John, what song did you play over and over and over again that you came to hate because you knew you'd have to play?
I can tell you very easily. In fact, there's a little story. Do you know the song You Light Up My Life by Debbie Boone?
Yes.
No? Okay. Thank God. So Debbie Boone's song was in like, I don't know, in the top five, top three, whatever it was. And not only did we repeat the songs, they had a stopwatch of 95 minutes connected to each of the top five songs. So you played it, the stopwatch reset, and then 95 minutes later, a light came on, and you were supposed to play that song. And over and over and over and over again. And I was a nighttime rock and roll teenage disc jockey. I didn't want to hear from You Light Up My Life. Come on. I just,
that's not rock and roll.
That's right. What is that? So one night, now it was a big selling song though. So one night I went on the air and I said, I don't like this song, but I know that there are many of you who do. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to play it in installments. Right now I'm going to play you the first 15 seconds of You Light Up My Life. Then in about 45 minutes, I'm going to play the next 15 seconds and so on and so on. And about this time, the program director, John Guerin, great guy, by the way, came into the studio and was like glaring at me. And I turned his microphone, had the engineer turn his microphone on, and I got him to admit that the possibility existed that someone would listen for the entire 4 hours to see if I actually did it. And I did. And it's followed me around ever since. I mean, I really didn't dislike the song. It's a fine song. It just didn't fit what I was doing. You know what I mean? It was.
Yes.
Yeah. It just didn't have the same something or other. I don't know. Yeah. But that's.
Every time I hear that song, I'm going to think of you, John.
thanks, Corey. Oh, and but the one last thing, though. Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You has exploded to the very top, hasn't it? Just about.
Yeah. Everybody loves that song. Talk about a song. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, have yourself a merry little Christmas or whatever holiday you use, and I hope to talk to you again. And please, don't listen to that stuff. They're going to repeat your brain's going to go, you're going to go to mush. I'll talk to you later, Corey. Thanks.
Sounds great, John. Thank you so much. Happy holidays to you, too.
You betcha.